for WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Governor Northam will sign the budget bills today. Thursday is the day that Medicaid expansion becomes the law in Virginia. Lawmakers from Virginia continue their fight against Trump's offshore drilling plans, and we preview the candidates for Congress in next Tuesday's Virginia primary election. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, June 7th.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Today is the day that Virginia's new budget, including Medicaid expansion for hundreds of thousands of low-income Virginians, will be signed into law. Governor Ralph Northam, a Democrat, made expanding Medicaid a key plank of his 2017 gubernatorial campaign. He's scheduled to sign the budget bills on the steps outside the state capitol Thursday afternoon. Virginia is the 33rd state to approve expansion of the health insurance program under the Affordable Care Act. Virginia State Police have released the name of the man who stole an armored personnel carrier from Fort Pickett on Tuesday night and led law enforcement officers on a merry chase through downtown Richmond, WCVE's Craig Carper reports.
29-year-old Virginia National Guard soldier Joshua Philip Yabbitt of Richmond was arrested last night and charged with driving under the influence of drugs, one felony count of eluding police, and one felony count of unauthorized use of a vehicle. He's being held at the City of Richmond Jail. Sergeant Keeley Hill is the public information officer for Division 1 of the Virginia State Police.
The vehicle was driven east on Route 460 and then northbound on Interstate 95 at a maximum speed of about 40 miles per hour. The Virginia State Police began pursuit of the vehicle since receiving the initial reports and traveled along with it from Nottoway County to the City of Richmond.
There were no crashes or injuries as a result of the incident. The case remains under investigation by Virginia State Police. In Richmond, Craig Carper, WMRA News.
Legislators from Virginia continue their fight against offshore drilling. On Wednesday, Richmond area Congressman Donald McEachin introduced legislation that would prevent exploration and drilling off the coasts of Virginia, North Carolina, Maryland, and Delaware. Virginia Beach Congressman Scott Taylor publicly opposes a White House proposal to allow offshore drilling, and Taylor attended a recent forum on the state of Virginia's waters, as Virginia Public Radio's Pamela D'Angelo reports.
Last year, President Trump signed an executive order for a review of oil and gas drilling in federally prohibited waters and to evaluate the status of marine sanctuaries. Taylor, a former Navy SEAL who's running for re-election, told his constituents last week he's friends with Interior Secretary Zinke, also a former Navy SEAL, and has talked with him about drilling in Virginia.
From his perspective, Virginia doesn't really have hardly anything.
Virginia's governor, as well as city councils, military installations, and fishing and tourism industries have already registered their opposition.
In my gut, I think we're going to be fine. I know a little more about that. We're going to be fine. But they're going to go through a process, so it's going to take a little bit of time.
Later, when pressed to be more specific, he dodged.
I think we're going to be fine.
Why do you say that?
Maybe I got some inside information. Maybe
but
I don't.
You don't want to tell us?
Of course not.
We're going to be fine.
From the Eastern Shore, I'm Pamela D'Angelo.
And finally today, Virginians go to the polls for primary elections next Tuesday, June 12th. Four congressional seats are at play in the WMRA listening area. And U.S. Senator Tim Kaine will also be on the ballot this fall. Three GOP candidates are vying to unseat him. JMU political science professor Bob Roberts joined me earlier this week to provide some perspective. Dr. Roberts, thank you very much for joining me today. We've got four districts to cover. Let's start with the 6th district, covering the Shenandoah Valley, goes south to Roanoke. It's an open seat this year with the retirement of longtime Republican Representative Bob Goodlatte. The Republicans in this conservative district already have Ben Klein as their nominee, but the Democrats not going to find out until June 12th. What is the Democratic side looking
like? They have four candidates, and they're competing for the Democratic nomination to go after Ben Klein in probably one of the most Republican House districts in the U.S.
And what is it looking like? Are the Democrats' chances any better this year, or do you think this is safely Republican in the 6th?
It would most experts would say safely Republican, but there's a wild card in the district, which is the pipeline. And so you have a lot of Republicans, conservative libertarians, who are very upset about the pipeline.
Because of property rights from their perspective.
Property
mainly.
Rights perspectives. It's a strange coalition between the environmentalists and the property right advocates.
Well, heading north to the 10th District, no pipeline issue there. That covers Winchester and a big chunk of northern Virginia over to the D.C. suburbs. And the June 12th primary is going to figure there as well. That district went for Hillary Clinton by 10 points in 2016, and this is considered a big pickup opportunity for Democrats.
That is the district that the Democrats thought they would have won last time.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Comstock has been there for a couple of terms.
She's the Republican incumbent.
Republican. She tries to distance herself from Republican, for example, from Trump. There are six Democrats competing for that race. It's going to be a real nail-biter in terms of there are a couple of candidates who have raised a lot of money. Most of the candidates have raised a good deal of money. It's not clear what's going to happen in terms of what Democrat is going to come out of that race and then how effective they'll be against Comstock. But the Democrats nationally expect that they can pick up that seat. Comstock has proven very, very effective in terms of distancing herself from Trump, so we'll see what happens. If they're going to get control of the House, they're going to have to take that seat, at least that seat back.
On to the 5th District, which covers a big chunk of Southside, also Charlottesville up to the D.C. suburbs, mostly rural district. And we already have our candidates there. Leslie Coburn is the Democrat. And as of last Saturday, Nelson County distillery owner Denver Riggleman, who after Tom Garrett's surprising withdrawal from the race a little over a week ago, Riggleman now the nominee for on the Republican side. What is that race looking like? Still Republican?
I mean, it was so gerrymandered back in 2000 that the only very moderate areas of that district in your listening audience would be Charlottesville and Nelson County, Alamo County. The rest of the district is so conservative. Again, you've got the pipeline issue, which is a major issue in that district. Riggleman is not well known in the district. I mean, he did run for governor. The Republicans are happy with that choice.
Well, on to the 7th, which Dave Bratt, the Republican incumbent, running for reelection.
There are two Democrats running for the nomination and against Congressman Bratt. And so Spangberger and Ward are the two Democrats running for that nomination. And most expect that she'll win it. That's what the conventional was.
That's Abigail Spangberger, the woman in the race. Yeah.
That she'll win it. Former CIA and national security expert. And that's considered also as one of the most competitive House races in the country.
And it's a different story for the statewide Senate race.
Right.
Tim Kaine, Democrat, is the incumbent.
Right.
And among the three Republicans, we've got a real strong Trump supporter in Corey Stewart.
Right.
We've got E.W. Jackson, the fiery evangelical pastor. And then we've got Nick Freitas, who is a two-term state lawmaker.
Yeah, the Republican establishment wants Freitas. They want him because they think he would be more marketable to the state as a whole. Corey Stewart has very, very strong backing among what I would call the core Republican base. The conventional wisdom is if it's a very, very low turnout
on June the 12th,
that he may very well win that race.
Well, we'll be watching very closely on June the 12th and in the general election. Dr. Bob Roberts is a professor of political science at James Madison University and the author of numerous books on American politics. Dr. Roberts, thanks so much for your time and your perspective.
Thank you.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. And enjoy your Thursday.